Robert Bartholomew is our old friend from overseas who studies mass paranoia. What an interesting way for me to jump into him as I sound myself like I need to be put in a room with some tinfoil on my head. Robert, how are you this morning?
Good, good.
I don't know if you've been listening in on the craziness that's been happening here at all, but I just decided at 4 a.m. to open up a debate on gun laws here in the United States, and it was very interesting, as you could expect. How are you doing, sir?
Good. You know, you had me on a few months ago, and I talked about my study on the claims of a sonic attack on U.S. embassy personnel in Cuba.
Right.
And now the big studies come out. It just came out on the 15th of February, a major, major study on this attack.
I didn't even know that. You know, I don't know if you know, Robert, because I know you're in New Zealand. There's been a lot going on in the United States, and it's not just all the Olympics. So I think that kind of got...
Well, we have shopping malls down here. We also have TV, and I do get the American news every morning. And, yeah, it's very sad and tragic what's happened there. And I can tell you, New Zealanders are... They just shake their heads. And why is it only happening in the U.S. to this extent? And I personally think there needs to be what you were saying, that I don't think people need... automatic weapons or a machine gun to protect themselves. But anyway, I don't want to get off onto that tangent.
Sure. So what I was saying, though, is that I think that, you know, this was that sonic attack story was big in August or whenever it happened. And I talked to you a couple times about this, and you explained instances of mass paranoia, and it was fascinating. And so you said the report finally came out. I didn't see anything about that online or in the paper. I think just with so much going on here right now that really got buried on page 10, and I didn't see it. So what did the report say?
Well, this is a major study. Now, before I tell you the findings, the quick backdrop to the story: between late 2016 and November of 2017, 24 staff working at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, reported falling ill after hearing a mysterious high-pitched whining sound. Several Canadian embassy personnel also fell ill under similar circumstances. Donald Trump has come out and said that he believes the Cubans were involved. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has expressed a similar view. There's a widespread belief that some type of sonic acoustical weapon was used. The symptoms were headaches, dizziness, nausea, fatigue, memory problems, difficulty sleeping, ringing in the ears, confusion, vertigo, hearing loss, concussion-like symptoms, and changes to the white matter tracts of the brain. And so just a couple of days ago, on February 15th of this year, a group of doctors at Penn State University published a study which found that of the 21 patients they examined from the Cuban attacks, all had strange concussion-like symptoms that were caused by exposure to some unknown energy force. Now, this wasn't any journal. This was one of the top medical journals in the world, the Journal of the American Medical Association. When I read the report, I could not believe what I was reading. Now, I said before I thought mass psychogenic illness was involved, and I staked my career on that. I read the article. I was stunned. For the past several months, there have been leaks to the media about strange concussion-like symptoms, about white matter tract changes in the brain, and that is what they found. I have been a social scientist for 30 years. When I first scanned the paper, and it got 20,000 hits from doctors very quickly, within 24, 48 hours. When I first scanned the paper, I said to myself, wow, I mean, they found all this. Then I looked at the data, and it's not there. This study makes sensational claims that are not supported by their own data. People have to be careful. I went out and I said, this is what I think it is. It's mass psychogenic illness. And people, scientists, have to be objective, and you have to be willing to be self-critical and say, you know what? I was wrong. But in this case, not only is their data not supporting their case. They made mistakes that you wouldn't make in a high school research paper. It reads like a propaganda paper put out by the U.S. government. It's unbelievable. I could not believe it. Now, I give the Journal of the American Medical Association credit, because what they did was they published this article because it's such a high-profile case with international implications. Then they published an editorial and a third paper, a commentary, which were both critical of the study. One of the people writing the editorial was Christopher Muth. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Neurological Sciences at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. I would suggest you interview him as well. He was very cautious. Now, my area of expertise is mass psychogenic illness, mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, it can't be mass psychogenic illness, because all of the patients were keen to return to work, and hence they were not malingering. Now, malingering refers to the faking of illness or injury to get out of work or some kind of responsibility. Malingering has nothing to do with this case. There's no debate about this. If we had 1,000 psychiatrists in a room, they would all agree with me. It's the wrong term. This shows an alarming lack of understanding on the literature on mass hysteria. I cannot believe that this actually happened. Then they said another reason why it can't be psychogenic illness is because there's no rapid onset and recovery. This has been dragged out over months. They also got that wrong. The second most common type of mass psychogenic illness begins slowly and persists for months or years and is often characterized by neurological symptoms. What do we have in this case? Neurological symptoms. Again, they are flat out wrong. There's no misunderstanding here. This is not open to debate or interpretation. They're just wrong. Now, if they're wrong on that, what else are they wrong on? Then one of the doctors says in an interview after publishing the study, some of the people didn't know others who had fallen ill, so it's not mass psychogenic illness. So why didn't they put that in the study? What he said was that some patients didn't know other patients had fallen ill. It would be silly to me not to put that in, but they left it out. Now, my question is, was it one or was it 21? They're not saying. And then we're told that in the study, the average patient had to wait 203 days after the first symptoms appeared before they were interviewed and they were treated for their symptoms. My goodness, that's a massive amount of time. After such a long period of time, memories become distorted. Timelines become foggy. Maybe that's why they didn't put it in their article. These are glaring oversights, and quite frankly, it's hard to believe. I mean, it shows a stunning lack of understanding on the literature on mass psychogenic illness, mass hysteria. And I'll tell you, the editorials were quite scathing and very critical of the study itself. So what's happened here is, and, you know, as a former, I began as a radio journalist, I'm seeing several newspapers now reporting on the JAMA article in a way that makes it sound like it's a big mystery without citing the two very cautious and critical commentaries that accompanied the article. Now, it's not exactly fake news, but I would refer to that as shoddy journalism. And, I mean, it's just remarkable the degree of vagueness of this study and the claims that they were making, that they just couldn't support the claims. And I'll tell you this, like, I've published 70 articles in scientific journals over the last 30 years. I am a respected scientist. I'm not letting my emotions get carried away here. If I'm wrong, I would be the first to admit it and say, you know what, they've got the data, there's some kind of sonic attack going on. I was just shocked by the vague nature of this study. And you'll remember before when I was on, I mentioned that they reported white matter tract changes. And
yeah, that was, I think, the last time we talked, that was what had been leaked out about white matter changes. Yeah.
look, there's no baseline evaluation here to compare with.
Right.
There's no control group. And this is relevant because, as they said in the editorial, many of the symptoms and signs that were reported occur in the general population. I mean, and so there's no evidence. There's never been any evidence in the scientific literature that sound waves can cause concussions or white matter tract changes. White matter tract changes are common in an array of conditions, from dementia to Alzheimer's to depression to normal aging. It's very common. And when they looked at the concussion-like symptoms, they had one expert on there who was saying that these could be explained by other factors. He said that the neuroimaging data from most of the cohort appear to be normal or to have non-specific findings. Now, that was S. Andrew Josephson, the head of neurology at the University of California, San Francisco Medical School. Now, it's just remarkable how this study came out. But again, I give the Journal of the American Medical Association credit. They put it out because it's such a high-profile case with so many implications. And they really beat it up in the editorial, and they beat it up in the commentary. And, you know, there's a reason why they published an editorial and a separate commentary on there.
Well, Robert, I imagine that's not necessarily, is that in line? I imagine there's been controversial findings there before. Have they ever had an editorial before to say, hey, we put this out because this was a study that was done, however, we have concerns, we have questions about it?
Sure. I mean, that does happen in the scientific literature. And, you know, this is the way science works, through peer review and to put your data out there and to examine the data. But the claims they were making, I mean, they started out saying things like, you know, this is a study of these energy waves that affected people in Cuba. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a study of the possibility of energy waves that affected people. They started out not being very objective at the very beginning. A colleague said to me when they read the article that it almost looked like it was done by the U.S. propaganda office or something. I mean, it was just remarkable how vague and nonspecific they could be. And of course, they can also hide behind there's certain information we can't tell you because it's in the national
sure.
interest.
Well, let me ask you, Robert, I'm really late for the news, so I got to let you go after this, but I do want to have you back on soon to get more into this. But what is your take on that? You said, you know, it looks like this was put out by a propaganda office. Do we think maybe the government had some sway over this and wants to put some pressure on Cuba, or to keep the, you know, keep Cuba at arm's length and sow in the general public a little discord with Cuba because it got opened up and now there have been questions about whether we're going to keep diplomatic ties as open to Cuba? What's your take on it? Do you think that there was some government intervention here?
You know, I don't think so, but scientists are human beings, and they're looking at this cohort, and they're looking to, you see what you expect to see. But x-rays, images of the brain are open to interpretation. That's why you get second and third opinions. That's why you get editorials and commentaries. So what we have here is a situation where this is being reported as one thing, but it really isn't. The last time I was on, I gave a caveat, and I'm going to give it again. And I can sum up this case in one sentence. When you hear the sounds of hoofbeats in the night, first think horses, not zebras. These people were seeing unicorns. They were expecting to see them. And you know, science, the wheels of science turn slowly, but they turn, and you have to have the supporting evidence. They don't. I say what I've said before, that mass psychogenic illness is the most likely explanation for this case. When you knock out the white matter tract changes, which, and the concussion-like symptoms, which don't hold water, there's not clear evidence for those. All the other symptoms are classic for mass psychogenic illness. I think this is a case of mass hysteria.
Robert Bartholomew is in, you're in Auckland, New Zealand, right, Robert? That's where we're
Auckland,
talking
New Zealand,
Auckland,
yep.
New Zealand. We will talk again. It's fascinating, and I wish I had more time for it now. I apologize. I was running late on the other thing, and now I'm late for the news. But thank you for jumping on the phone and talk. You know, as you first started explaining, I thought, holy cow, Robert's going to say, I was wrong. There's something that does it. But there was an interesting twist yet again. We'll talk more about it soon, okay?
Okay, have a good night.
Thank you so much for jumping.